Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. All right.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
Oh boy, we get the three of us together. Charlie Brennan and Amy Markscore is with us. I'm Tom Ackerman. It is Overtime. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
How you doing? Doing well, okay today?
No complaints so far.
Amy Markscore, what's going on in your area of the world?
Oh, hey there, Tom. You know, just brewing coffee every morning, listening to Total Information AM, my turn to jump on.
Oh, it's so good to hear. Thank you for your listenership. We appreciate that. It's Overtime, and we have a lot to discuss, and let's get right to it. James Bullard, the president of the St. Louis Fed, said the following, that the district project total employment reductions of 47 million, which would translate to a 32.1% unemployment rate, according to recent analysis of how bad things could get. He says that this reflects the high nature of at-risk jobs that ultimately could be lost to a government-induced economic freeze aimed at halting the coronavirus spread. Charlie, did you ever think you'd see 30% or more unemployment in your lifetime?
Well, no, and we may not see that. Taking a look at the interview that Bullard conducted, he was really talking about what might happen if, for example, employees are laid off and not retained in exchange for the forgivable loans, which the federal government is offering right now. So he's recommending that businesses not lay people off, keep them on the payrolls, and then get reimbursed by Washington, D.C. And He's also, in his interview, he said, look, he was trying to justify the federal intervention, the $2 trillion, which was passed by Congress and signed by the president. And he also said it could be between 10 and 30%. So before people get too alarmed, the president of the Fed in St. Louis did not say that 30% was a done deal for this country.
Right. And it's not a number that I ever expected to see, and to be honest, it's not a number I expect to see now or in the upcoming months. I really do have faith in this country and this country's businesses, in the innovation, in the resourcefulness, and how companies will be able to work around the current situation that we're in. And it is temporary. And if people can just hang on, whether that is something just like a suspension of work or, you know, waiting for that government assistance, I don't think it's going to be that flat 30%, and then that's what we're stuck with for months to come. I really focus on the temporary nature of where we are, and I think people will bounce back, as will the companies.
Let's talk about state-to-state travel. So the Missouri governor, Mike Parson, said he's not shutting down interstate travel, Amy, as some governors have in other states. He's still holding off on a mandatory stay-at-home order. Should rural and urban areas have separate stay-at-home orders?
No, I think at this point, I wish Missouri Governor Parson would issue a statewide stay-at-home order. I think consistency is important here. And I think also what it does is it enforces just how serious the nature of COVID-19 is and how important mitigating actions like stay-at-home orders can be. Give your medical community a fighting chance. And I think if when governor issues that statewide order, not only does it reinforce the seriousness of the nature, but it also shows support for the medical community, for the first responders, and acknowledges that what they're going through is a big deal and is a priority for everyone in the state.
I might disagree a little bit because, you know, Wyoming is not New York City, and I think that different rules can apply. And there are counties within Missouri that are hardly populated compared to St. Louis City. And we do see the greatest cases, of course, in the most congested areas. So I think it's possible to have different rules for different parts of the country and different counties. When you just take a look at it, you know, shared space, for example, in some parts of this state, people may go a couple of days without seeing others, and you really wonder if their activities have to be curtailed that much. I mean, if you live on a farm, why do you have to be shelter in place, right? I mean, if you don't come in contact with anybody.
But what would be the difference if you live on a farm? You shouldn't go to a restaurant. You know what I mean? There's not much difference between a statewide shelter in place where I'm at or where someone is in, for instance, in Arnold or Chesterfield than there would be someone on a farm.
Well, for example, the city of St. Louis is talking about closing roads within parks, and I just don't think that that would be necessary in counties that are very rural.
Sure, but that's different than a shelter in place, correct?
Well, I thought we were just talking about should all counties have the same rules, and the city of St. Louis is a county, and it's got some pretty tough rules, including, for example, you can't have, let's say, I don't know, certain church services. And there may be places where, you know, people are spread out and, you know, they can accommodate this. We have to be reasonable because let's not kid ourselves. It's not like we've locked down the cities. Daycares are still operating, right? So if daycares are still operating, how do we tell counties that you can't, you know, go through the parks any way you want to?
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to stay on that topic and talk about what's happening in Rhode Island with regard to going door to door looking for people who've come from New York. That is next. KMOX News Time is 8:38. It's overtime.
Coronavirus. Get the facts. Join the discussion. News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
And our discussion continues on Overtime with Charlie Brennan and Amy Markscores. I'm Tom Ackerman. Charlie, with New York City, the current epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., Rhode Island has taken an extreme step to keep its residents safe. They have National Guard members going door to door looking for anyone who's come from New York, and police have been taking down the information of drivers with New York plates. In instituting that policy, the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo, declared, "I want to be crystal clear about this. If you're coming to Rhode Island from New York, you are ordered into quarantine." Charlie, should we be concerned about travelers from these hot zones?
Well, I remember a couple weeks ago when Amy and I talked to Leon Bronstein, who is an Israeli artist and was in town with Garden View Care Center and St. Louis University. And he mentioned to us that he was heading back to Israel, and in Israel, he would be in a mandatory 14-day quarantine, and it's all for health purposes. Now, I don't know if the Rhode Island governor is on solid legal ground, but it doesn't seem to me that what Rhode Island is doing is much different than, let's say, Israel, when people come from other countries that are known to have COVID-19 infections.
You know, and I actually have another good friend who is going home to Israel, I think maybe today or in the next couple of days, and he will be quarantined for 14 days. And they've even further restricted the activity of residents in Israel, where now you're not supposed to leave your home, go further than 100 meters from your home, even if you're walking your dog. And I think this gets back to that question in the previous segment about statewide mandatory stay-at-home orders. The reason why I think it's smart for Governor Parson to issue a mandatory stay-at-home order across the state is it does kind of hammer home the seriousness of the issue. But then when it comes to the different areas, Charlie, the more concentrated areas, as you mentioned, further steps may have to be taken. For instance, in parks in the city, they've now blocked off the tennis courts and the basketball courts and the playgrounds. And that's smart because we need to understand that people can't congregate. Now, the walking paths are still open. What we don't want to happen is what we've seen in Chicago along Lakeshore Drive or in Switzerland along some of the more beautiful spots of the lake where beaches and paths are being closed down because people are still congregating. So I think a statewide stay-at-home order is absolutely smart, but in the more concentrated areas, the enforcement of that may have to be stronger than others.
Also, this was a big story yesterday and today, a sick-out planned today by Whole Foods. Whole Foods Market employees protesting what they see as inadequate safety measures and insufficient pay for the risks they're confronting, and they aren't the only ones. Several workers walked off the job at an Amazon warehouse in Staten Island. You have Instacart workers who have walked off the job as well, Amy. There have been walkouts at Amazon fulfillment centers. Are we doing enough to protect our grocery and warehouse workers?
Well, I imagine that this is store to store or maybe store chain to store chain. We saw that Schnucks and Deerberg's are putting up plastic barriers between the cashiers and those who are checking out. I think the more you can do to keep the grocery store workers safe, the better. I would hope so, not only for the employee safety and the shopper safety, but also this is an essential store that has to stay open. So I imagine this would be store to store.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Brad Young about this at about 9:20 this morning. I think it's 9:20. Brad Young, of course, with Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young, and who ordinarily joins us Thursdays during overtime. Not so much now since we're socially distancing, but a lot of employees are wondering, you know, what goes right now? Do they get a little extra money in the brown envelope at the end of the week if they do go into work and might be incurring some daycare expenses that they hadn't been, or childcare? Or do they have to go into work? What if they fear for their safety? Do they have to quit their job? Or if the boss says you have to be in the office, does someone have to be in the office? We're going to talk about this a little bit later.
We appreciate that. We'll keep a look on that. 9:20 for Brad Young on Charlie Brennan with Amy Mark Scores. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll come back with much more on Overtime. Tom Ackerman with you on KMOX.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
It's 8:51, Overtime. Tom Ackerman with you. Charlie Brennan and Amy Mark Scores on the program, and they'll be coming up after the 9 o'clock news. We'll hear what they have on the show on the way in about 5 minutes. First, Charlie, the Trump administration has sped up construction of a wall on the southern border, arguing that it will help limit the spread of the virus from Mexico. But public health experts say such a barrier would not mitigate the outbreaks already occurring in every state. Should we, Charlie, continue putting resources on a southern border wall in this age of COVID?
Well, overall, I think the numbers in Mexico are relatively low. And for countries south of Mexico, the New York Times has a global tracker, and you can take a look at the map, and they put, you know, red dots and where there are COVID-19 cases, and the more cases, the larger the red dot. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprising, I don't know, Africa and South America, Central America, don't have that many red dots. So I think really some people, maybe everybody, is using the COVID-19 crisis to kind of justify pre-existing positions. And in the president's case, he doesn't want immigration from Mexico. Frankly, I think we could use more workers from Mexico, because in the St. Louis area, landscapers are still tweeting, even though we had 3.3 million unemployment claims last Friday, and who knows, maybe we'll get 5 or 10 million this Friday. Landscapers in this town still cannot find people to mow lawns. So I would bring up more Mexicans, legal ones, of course, and I'm not sure that this fence, Tom, is being put up for health reasons.
Right. To me, they're just completely unrelated, and I'm assuming the resources are not a zero-sum contest, that the dollars that are going to the wall are not being used somewhere else. I don't think that's necessarily how it works. I'm also not concerned about coronavirus coming from Mexico. I mean, my goodness, if we're looking at watching people crossing borders, I think Rhode Island is more concerned about New York than we should be about people coming from Mexico. So put a wall around New York. I don't know. But no, this is not related to me. I just am tired of people leveraging the coronavirus, the COVID-19 crisis in order to push their agendas, you know, use this as rank opportunism. Both parties have done it. I wish we could get over that, but these are unrelated to me, and it's silly for the president to tie them together.
How about this? How are you passing the time as you remain quarantined? Well, no one can criticize you for staying inside and playing video games all day. In fact, Amy, the World Health Organization is recommending it. Last week, they launched the Play Apart Together campaign. They suggest that video games are a safe social activity that can connect people socially while helping flatten the curve. Isn't that a bit ironic considering that just last year they said a gaming disorder is an official illness?
Yes, all those guys like sitting in the basement, spinning in their chairs, going, my, how the tables have turned. I mean, sure, if you can get together with gaming and it's connecting people socially, go for it. I'm not a video game person. I'm like, this is a great time to get on Duolingo and learn a language. I've also never been a binge watcher, and I started watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which has been fun. But, I mean, sure, at this point, go for it. This is the time for gamers and all those little kids who are begging their parents for video screen time to have fun.
Well, you know, I don't want to be like eat your peas and tell people what to do with their time. People are adults, kids are kids, and people do what they want to do. But I do remember when I read Chuck Berry's autobiography, you know, he went to prison three times. His third time was in California for tax problems. And he said, I'm going to make use of this time, and I'm going to get more out of prison than they're going to get out of me. So he wrote his autobiography. His goal was, I think, 4 pages a day. He completed it. It became a New York Times bestseller. He made money out of the deal. And I think that since we're forced to do things like this, at least I'm going to try and accomplish some things that otherwise I wouldn't have done if I was out and about. I mean, there are certainly plenty of closets to be cleaned. There are books to be read, books to be written. And again, I'm not telling people how to live their lives, but I think that you can turn a negative into a positive if you think just a little bit. And I'm not sure playing video games is really all that positive. In fact, my son wanted us to, you know, he's never had Xbox his whole life. He's now 21. Oh, he's going to be 21 in July. July 15th, your birthday, Tom.
Hey.
And he wants Xbox. I go, no. We'll get a basketball hoop, but come on. Let's not go down that road.
Well, Santa brought us an Xbox. I couldn't get on it if I tried. My kids have been on it since we started this whole thing. I couldn't take the controllers away from them. What do we have on the show, Charlie Brennan?
Well, we mentioned Brad Young's going to talk to us. He might also talk about us. And this morning, Darrell Conner from 20 Minutes to Fitness has some ideas for working out in your home. And in her first appearance ever, I think, on the show, Amy Marskor's mom will join us and talk about successful homeschooling. That and more.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.